Then the Lord God, it says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. This is the affection that our Lord Jesus Christ has for his Father. He loves him so much. He loves him so much. He says, the Lord God. And it's this portion is unique in the way he's naming his Father, calling him Adonai Yahweh. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Spending time with his Father gave him the ability to speak a word which was an encouragement to others. Well, how did he get that? Every morning, morning by morning, he was before the Lord. Okay, we are in Isaiah chapter 49, and we have covered most of the chapter, but we're going to pick it up in verse 22. We covered a little bit of that last time, but we will cover more of it today. Verse 22, Isaiah 49, 22. And remember the context of this. Now, Isaiah is prophesying, and he is now about to start. He's right now speaking about the distant future, his distant future, which is still our distant future. He is speaking about the end of the 7-year tribulation. There will be a 7-year tribulation, the last 3.5 years, particularly hard on the Jewish people, because there will be a division with the Antichrist, and the Antichrist will be seeking to kill them. And he's speaking that after that 7 years, after the total 7 years, the Lord is going to come, Jesus is going to come, and he's going to establish his millennial reign, his 1,000-year reign. And this is talking about the start of that millennial reign and what he's prophesying. And never bet against Isaiah. Isaiah has just nailed it over and over again. And so this will certainly come to pass. Isaiah 49, verse 22. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and set up my standard to the peoples. And they will bring your sons in their bosom, and your daughters will be carried on their shoulders. Kings will be your guardians, and their princes your nurses. They will bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick the dust of your feet. And you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. Can the prey be taken from the mighty man, or the captives of a tyrant be rescued? Surely, thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty man will be taken away, and the prey of the tyrant will be rescued. For I will contend with the one who contends with you, and I will save your sons, and I will feed your oppressors with their own flesh, and they will become drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And so what you see here is you see a pattern that Jesus is talking about this end times. And so now what's going to happen is, remember, there is a gathering of Israel, which is happening today, according to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11. It says he is speaking about the second gathering in that chapter, and he makes reference to the first gathering. The first gathering of Israel to the land of Israel is happening today. It started in the 20th century, and it is happening, is still continuing today, where Jews are coming into Israel en masse. Israel, a secular nation. It is a secular nation. This is exactly how it was prophesied to be. And he is bringing them there, and he's bringing them there for a national regeneration. There will be a judgment and a national regeneration. What Isaiah is talking about in this passage is the second gathering. This is going to happen after the tribulation, where he's going to be bringing the remnant, those who love the Lord, those who love Jesus, the remnant back in. This is going to be when they are going to look upon him whom they have pierced, and they're going to weep as for him, as for an only begotten son. This is what he's talking about during this period of time. And then he's saying how they are going to come back. He says, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand, verse 22 of Isaiah 49, to the nations, nations, goyim, the plural of nation. Nations speaks of the Gentiles. He is going to lift up his hand to the Gentiles and set my standard to the peoples. Again, he's going to put up a banner, and they will bring your sons in their bosoms, and your daughters will be carried on their shoulders. The Gentiles are going to be bringing the Jews back into the land of Israel. We see that today in the first regathering. We see that happening today, where you see plane loads of Jews coming in from Russia, from the former Soviet Union, from North Africa, coming in. Plane loads of them, many of those sponsored by Gentiles, pay many times for these plane loads of people to come in. So you see exactly this happening. This is going to be the second time it happens. Again, Gentiles are going to be bringing them in. These are the sheep Gentiles, the good Gentiles. These are the ones that are helping the children of Israel. And the reason I characterize them as sheep, you'll see in a minute why I'm characterizing them as sheep. There's going to be, and it says of them in verse 23, kings will be your guardians and their princesses your nurses. So even kings and princesses, they are going to be standing behind these Jews returning to the land of Israel. It says, they will bow down to you with their faces to the earth. They will lick the dust of your feet, and you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. After massive anti-Semitism, after massive abuse from all over the world, these Gentiles, these good Gentiles, these sheep Gentiles are going to be saying, we will send you back. There's going to be tremendous honor from them. That's what God is promising. Now there's another group of Gentiles, and during the end period of that 7-year tribulation, there is going to be the pre-millennial Armageddon. There is going to be a big battle that is going to occur in this time, and this is going to be spoken about. But we'll look at some of those verses in a minute. So there is going to be a battle, and God Himself is going to defeat them. But they're going to take many Jews into captivity, and then he's going to bring them back. And this is what he's talking about in verse 24 when he says, can the prey be taken from the mighty man, or the captives of a tyrant be rescued? Surely, thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty man will be taken away, and the prey of the tyrant will be rescued. For I will contend with the one who contends with you, and I will save your sons. And then he talks about the destruction that he's going to be bringing upon those that come against the land of Israel. I will feed your oppressors with their own flesh, and they will become drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your mighty and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And so you see what is going to happen. So let me outline for you some of the things that are going to happen. And we're going to read a couple of verses to talk about this. The last 3.5 years, there is going to be a division. At the start of the tribulation, 7-year tribulation, Israel is going to make an agreement with the Antichrist. We've looked at those verses before. They'll make an agreement with the Antichrist. The Antichrist says, I will give you security. And then he says, you submit, I'll give you security, and you can have these sacrifices in your temple. And then what's going to happen after 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to break that agreement, and there's going to be a massive falling out between the Antichrist and the Jewish people. The Antichrist is going to seek to kill many of them. During that period, that's 3.5 years. Their years were 360 days, not 365 and a quarter days like our years. And it was 360 days. So 3.5 years is 1,260 days. That's where this reference comes from. So if you look in the book of Revelation, it says, leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it. for it has been given to the nations, and they will tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth. 42 months is 1260 days by their reckoning of a year. That's where that 1260 days come from. That's that 3.5 years. Revelation chapter 12. The woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared by God. That's the Jewish nation. So there she would be nourished for 1260 days. That's the 3.5 years. So the remnant is going to leave Jerusalem, leave Judea, go to Petra, which is in southern Jordan right now, south of the Dead Sea. And that's that city that's built into the stone. You can go visit that city today. That's where the remnant of Israel will be. They will be protected there by God for 3.5 years. The Lord Jesus will meet them there and bring them back into Jerusalem at the end of the 3.5 years. Daniel makes reference to some other times. Daniel chapter 12, verse 11 and 12 says, from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, that's when the Antichrist is going to set himself up as king and God in the temple. He says there will be 1290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to 1335 days. So we have the 1260, which is 3.5 years. And now Daniel makes reference to 1290 days. The 1290 days is because after the 1260 days, the Lord is going to return. He will defeat his enemies. And then when he returns to after the defeat of his enemies, he will then cleanse the temple and deal with the Antichrist. He will deal with the Antichrist and he will cleanse the temple at that time. During that 30-day period, there'll be the temple cleansing and Satan will be bound. The Antichrist will be killed. Satan will be bound. Then there's another 45 days. That brings it to the 1,335 days. During that 45 days, there's going to be the judgment of the sheep and the goats, the sheep and the goats judgment. And we see the sheep and the goats judgment in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25. And so the sheep are talked about in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 22 and 23. Those Gentiles that are going to assist the return of the Jews, that are going to show kindness to the Jews during the tribulation period. The Gentiles that do not show kindness to the Jewish nation, they are referenced in verse 24 onward of Isaiah chapter 49. And Jesus himself spoke about this.
If you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, send me an email, tour@drjamestour.org, and we will get together and I will share with you about why I embrace the resurrection of Jesus.
So in Matthew 25, verse 31, it says this. This is quoting Jesus. But when the Son of Man comes, remember, the Son of Man, the title, the Son of Man. Now, there was a prophet in the Old Testament. Ezekiel was called Son of Man, never the Son of Man. The Son of Man is a reference used only for Jesus, and it is the thing that Jesus most commonly referred to himself as, the Son of Man. So he didn't refer to himself as Jesus, as the Christ, as often as he did the Son of Man. He called himself the Son of Man. He says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. So when is Jesus going to come in his glory with all the angels with him? He's going to come in his glory with all the angels with him at the start of the millennial reign, that thousand-year reign that comes after the 7 years of tribulation. So that's what he's referring to. So Jesus now makes reference to this himself. He says, when he comes in his glory, all the angels with him. So all of the angels are coming with him. I don't know how many that is, but it's a lot. And he will sit on his glorious throne in that temple. He will sit. Now, remember, the Temple Mount is going to be totally reconstructed during that period as well. There's a 75-day period, 30 days plus 45 days, 75 days between the end of the seven-year tribulation and the start of the millennial reign. It's going to be reconstructed. It says all nations. Remember, nations is when it's plural, that means the Gentiles. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. So he is saying, so these brothers are distinguished, they are separate from the sheep and the goats. He is referring to the Jewish people, he's the nation of Israel. He says, to the extent that you did it to them, how you treat, how they treat the nation of Israel during the 7-year tribulation is going to be how they will be judged in the end. Remember, the church has already been taken. The church has already been taken. Before the tribulation has ever come, the church will have been taken. And we know that if you read in the book of Revelation, start reading in the book of Revelation. It's church, 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 going one church after another. And after chapter 3 in the book of Revelation, you never hear of the church again. No reference to the church. Now, there are a lot of saints being persecuted. Those are people who have come to the Lord during the tribulation period, after the word rapture is not what's used in the Bible. What's used in the Bible is being taken up. After being taken up, after the church is taken up, then there will be many people will come to the Lord. They will be persecuted. Many of the believers will be persecuted during that tribulation period. And then you don't pick it up again until after Revelation chapter 18. Boom, you start seeing the church again and again. That is the return. That is the return of our Lord with his angels and with the body of Christ is going to be returning with him. So you see that gap there between chapter 3 and chapter 18 in the book of Revelation. No more reference to the church because the church is gone. And it's not like he didn't know that the church exists because chapters 1, 2, and 3 are just full of church in the book of Revelation. He says, how you treat these is going to determine your end. And then he turns to the goats and he says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat, and so forth. And he goes through the whole list. And they said, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? He says, to the extent that you didn't do to one of these little ones. So how the Gentiles will treat the Jewish nation during the tribulation will determine their end, will determine their fate, according to what Jesus said. Now, if you don't believe any of this, you think this is a bunch of nonsense, that's up to you. I would much rather accept the words of my Lord. This is exactly what Jesus said is going to happen. Remember, it can't stop from happening. Try as you might, you can't stop this from happening. This is going to happen. And this is what's described in this portion in Isaiah 49. Jesus makes reference to this, and this is the judgment between the sheep and the goats. And that judgment time, that judgment between the sheep and the goats, is going to occur in the Kidron Valley. The Kidron Valley is called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. In Joel chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, it says this, for behold, in those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem. Look at what God says. When I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem. Remember, they will have been devastated during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. He said, I'm going to restore their fortunes. During that time, he says, I will gather all the nations. That's plural. That's the Gentiles. I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. The Valley of Jehoshaphat is the Kidron Valley. It is between the old city of Jerusalem, where the Temple Mount is, and the Mount of Olives. So if you have walked from the Mount of Olives to the city of Jerusalem or back, as many tourists do, they take you up to, a bus takes you up to the Mount of Olives, and you walk down the Mount of Olives into the Kidron Valley, and then back up into the city of Jerusalem. And that walk, I don't know, 40-minute walk or something. If you walk down, because it's not direct, it goes this way and this way, because it rather than going straight up a hill, it kind of goes at an angle because it's too steep. In that valley is where the judgment is going to take place. Joel told us. Jesus didn't tell us where the judgment's going to take place. Joel tells us. He says, in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. That's what we call the Kidron Valley today. Then he says, then I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my inheritance, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land. They have also cast lots for my people, traded a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. He says that they abused my people, and I will judge them there in that place. So you have the prophet Joel speaking about this. You have the prophet Isaiah speaking about this. And then you have Jesus underscoring this. I mean, it all fits together. This is exactly what is going to take place. And then we see that there is this coming of the Lord, and there's going to be this battle of Armageddon, this pre-millennial battle of Armageddon, which the Bible talks about. So, for example, in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, it says, the burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord, who stretches the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. He says, look, I've made the heavens, I've made the earth, and I made people, and I made the spirit of God within him. I'm the one who's granted him life. Behold, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will be against Judah. It will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. So he talks about there is going to be big battles against Judah, the land of Judah, and in the middle of that, the Jerusalem. He says there's going to be a big battle there. All the nations are going to come fighting there. How will you respond during that time is the question. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1, he speaks about this more. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half of the city exiled. But the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fights on the day of battle. In that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in the middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will be moved toward the north and the other half toward the south. This is what I'm telling you. This is going to be massive reconstruction of the land during that period. This is what he's talking about. It is so amazing how he tells us exactly what is going to be happening. Now let's look at Isaiah chapter 50. Again, we are so blessed to be looking at Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50 is again talking about our Lord. But he starts out talking about this marriage. So let's read Isaiah chapter 50, verses 1 through 3. Thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of divorce by which I have sent your mother away? Or to whom of my creditors did I sell you? Behold, you were sold for your iniquities, and for your transgressions your mother was sent away. Why was there no man when I came? When I called, why was there none to answer? Is my hand so short that it cannot ransom? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, I dry up the sea with my rebuke. I make the rivers of a wilderness. Their fish stink for lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness and make the sackcloth for her covering. So this is speaking of divorce. The Israelites were accusing God of divorcing them. They said, you have divorced us, because here they're going to be going into Babylon. And remember, part of what he did is what Isaiah is writing about was to encourage the Israelites, the Judeans who were taken into captivity in Babylon. They're reading this near the end of their 70-year period. He's talking about as he's going to bring them out, but they're accusing him of divorcing them. And so it talks about how God has a marriage. There's a marriage between between Israel and God. And this is spoken about in many verses in the Bible, but we'll just look at one of them, Ezekiel 16, verse 8. Then I passed by you and I saw you, and behold, you were at that time for love. So I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. I also swore to you and entered into a covenant with you so that you became mine, declares the Lord. So there are many verses where it says God performed a marriage between Israel and himself. And then it talks about the great adultery that took place. And the great adultery is mentioned in many passages, but particularly we'll look at one in Hosea. Hosea chapter 2, verse 2. Contend with your mother, contend, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. And let her put away her harlotry from her face and her adultery from between her breasts, or I will strip her naked and expose her as on the day when she was born. And I will also make her like a wilderness, make her like a desert land, and slay her with thirst. Also, I will have no compassion on her children because they are children of harlotry, for their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has acted shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers who give me bread, give me my bread and water, my wool, my flax, my oil, and my drink. And so you see that there is this harlotry that took place. And so then the outcome of that harlotry is that there was a separation. And that's what this separation is talked about in chapter 50, verse 1. Of Isaiah, this God separates from them. He has not yet to divorce them. The divorce is going to come 100 years later, and that is going to be talked about in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 6, for example, it says, the Lord said to me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what faithless Israel did? She went up on every high hill and under every green tree, and she was a harlot there. He's talking about the idol worship that they were doing. I thought, after she has done all these things, she'll return to me. But she did not return, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw that for all the adulteries of faithless Israel, I had sent her away and given her a writ of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but she went and was a harlot also. Because of the lightness of her harlotry, she polluted the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. Yet in spite of all her treacherous sister Judah did, she did not return to me with all her heart, but rather in deception, declares the Lord.
Because of you, millions of people have heard the gospel.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he's risen from the dead, and you will be saved.
That's right.
That's the requirement.
We talk about science concepts which draw people in.
Take these nanomachines and have them drill into cells.
This would be a great way to kill cancer, right?
We also talk about Jesus Christ, who's the best in everything.
My faith in Jesus Christ means more to me than anything.
If you could continue to give or give for the first time, we would certainly appreciate it. You can go to jesusandscience.org/donate. All U.S. donations are tax deductible. Thank you so much.
And so to have a divorce, you had to have a writ. You had to have a written document. That's what it said in the book of Deuteronomy when a man divorced his wife. It had to have that written document. God spoke of the written document that he put forward. And as a result of that, there is the punishment. And that is what's spoken about in chapter 50, verses 1 through 3. And so he talks about the punishment that is going to take place. And so you see that punishment spoken about that is going to come upon them. And then eventually, it's not mentioned here, but eventually there is going to be a remarriage. That remarriage is going to be the restored blessing. Right now, Israel is still under this term of punishment. And you see this, there's anti-Semitism throughout the world, and this will grow, this will increase, and this will continue because they are under this period of punishment. And this is what's prophesied in many portions of Scripture. And then the remarriage will finally come. And the remarriage is mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. It says, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them. Again, he's proclaiming that he was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them and on their heart, and I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sins I will remember no more. So he talks about this. That's what this is talking about. So when he says in verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 50, Why was there no man when I came, when I called? Why was there none to answer? He says, I came to you. I was calling you, but you were not coming forward. You were not repenting. The problem was not with God. The problem was with Israel, their constant transgression. That's what the problem was with. And then he says, look, the problem's not with me. He says, look, I dry up the sea. I brought you right through the Red Sea. I dried that up. I demonstrated my power. The problem was with you and with your transgression. Now, as we move into chapter 50, verse 4, this is like the sweetest portion. It just glorifies our Lord Jesus Christ. We will just touch on it today, and then I'm going to keep you in suspense, because he is so good. We'll just read this portion, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. Then the Lord God, it says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. This is the way he's named in the prophet Isaiah. Is he's named the servant. This is how the servant is speaking. And you know the servant is speaking, because if you look down in verse 10 of that same chapter, it says, Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant? Who's going to obey the voice of his servant? He's referring to what was just said above. This is the voice of his servant. And look what the Lord, the servant, our Lord Jesus Christ, calls his Father. He says, the Lord God, Adonai Yahweh, Adonai Yahweh, the Lord God. This Lord and God, Adonai Yahweh. This Yahweh is like the great I Am. It's more like he is. It's the second person. He is the great I Am, Adonai Yahweh. And he's going to refer to him four times this way in this portion. This is the affection that our Lord Jesus Christ has for his Father. He loves him so much. He loves him so much. He says, the Lord God. And it's this portion is unique in the way he's naming his Father, calling him Adonai Yahweh. Just great affection, great respect. He says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain a weary one with a word. He's given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. Let me read you this word from Jesus, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Look at the words of Jesus, how he can sustain a weary one. And so many times I've meditated on this portion when I feel besides myself, when I feel wiped out, when I feel, how can I go on? I meditate on this portion and it just lifts me up. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus says, Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If ever you felt overwhelmed, overburdened, just remember this portion, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said, come to me, come to me. Don't keep yourself from him. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus beckons. He welcomes those who are weary and heavy laden. He says, come to me. He beckons us. He doesn't say, well, you know, get your act together and then come to me. You know, I'm too busy for you right now. If you just take care of yourself and then come to me. Go see a psychiatrist and then come to me. No, he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. He says, I'll take you. Nobody else receives you, I'll take you. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I mean, just treasure of words, I'll give you rest. He says, you take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you're going to find rest for your souls.
He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How was he able to do this? It says in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. Spending time with his father gave him the ability to speak a word which was an encouragement to others. Well, how did he get that? Well, he says it right here. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple, as one who is taught. That's how. Every morning, morning by morning, he was before the Lord. That's what I'm telling you. The Bible over and over again talks about every day with the Lord, morning by morning. It says Jesus, Mark chapter 1, he would go off to a lonely place while it was still dark, and he would go and pray there. It says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Psalm 112, verse 1 and 2, Psalm 119, verse 97 through 100. He again and again talks about the blessing that comes when we come before the Lord every day. The Lord, every day means 7 days a week, not 3 days a week. You come before the Lord 7 days a week. He awakens me morning by morning. Every morning Jesus was before the Father. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. And it was through this that Jesus got the ability to speak a word that would encourage other people. He had the ability to speak a word that would draw people out. This is what he could do. This is what will happen to you if you will spend time with the Father. This is what will happen to you. And then as you spend more time with him, there will be like a deep affection. A deep affection will grow between you and God. This deep affection, so that as Jesus says, the Lord God, Adonai Yahweh. I mean, the two terms of great, great respect. Adonai, we translate that as Lord. Yahweh, it's this tetragrammaton, this four letters that characterize the great I Am, or He Is. And that was the name that the Father used of himself. That's what he used of himself. Moses said, who should I say sent me? And the Father said, tell them I am. I am who I am. Tell them I am sent you. And that's why in John chapter 8, multiple times, Jesus said, if you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know I am. I am. Jesus took that same title, I am. I am. Then you will know. Through that, Jesus was proclaiming his deity. Let's pray. Oh, my Father, I thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ. He has made all these things clear to us. It's because of him. Thank you, my Father, that you spoke to our Lord Jesus Christ and you taught and instructed him. Morning by morning, in his humanity, he was instructed by you. Morning by morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have the words that encourage us, that draw us out. Thank you that you beckon us to come to you when we're weary and heavy laden. Thank you, Lord, that you give us rest. Blessed be your name, O Lord. Father, I pray that you would draw these students to you. Give them a heart for you. Give them a heart for your word. Father, let them seek your face. And Father, I pray that you would be instructing them through the word of God, that you would instruct them what finds favor with you. What found favor with the sheep? Why did you call them sheep? Why did you bless them so richly? Father, I pray that these students would learn what it is that brings blessing upon a life, and they would so walk in it. Father, by your grace and by your mercies, let Jesus be glorified. Amen.
Thank you for joining me today. If you could give us a like, share, or podcast review, we would appreciate it. If you have any questions, you could send them to ask@jesusandscience.org, and we'll try to answer some of those questions in an upcoming video. And if you do not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you want to hear about why I believe, send me an email to tour@drjamestour.org, and we'll get together by Zoom. And I'll share with you why I embrace the resurrection of Jesus Christ.